All right, well, let's pray and then we're going to get into this. Father, we thank you once again for who you are. And God, we thank you that not only have you transformed us, but you have invited us into your mission. You've invited us to work alongside of you. But you don't ask us to do that in our own strength. You do that through the empowerment of your Spirit. And so, God, I'm grateful for that this morning. So as we come to your word today and as we walk through this topic about spiritual gifts, Lord, I pray that you would help us. I pray that you'd help us to see and understand what your word is saying. I pray that you would help us to come to this with humility and openness to change our minds about some things and to learn in some areas. And God, I pray that through all of it, that you would be glorified and that you would use this to help us live more and more like Jesus. So God, thank you for all of this. In your name we pray. Amen. So I'm excited today to start this new series. We just finished talking about kind of God's blueprint for a healthy church, and this next series is a slightly different angle on kind of that topic. It's sort of it's an adjacent topic. It's an offshoot of that. And so we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. And in Pentecostal circles, this is a topic that many people often have experience with, and many people are often very curious about it. And some of us have been in settings where spiritual gifts have been well used, and they have been demonstrated in the life of the church, and they've been managed and taught well, and people have benefited from them. And others of us have been in contexts where we have seen spiritual gifts used to manipulate, to control, even to shame. And so my hope is that together we can walk through this topic and we can look at some of the relevant texts of Scripture with humility and openness, because ultimately spiritual gifts are exactly that. They are gifts to the church from the Spirit, and they serve an important and a powerful function. So without further ado, let me share a story with you that I came across this week. It's a creative way to think about and understand spiritual gifts, okay? The writer says this: I hadn't attended church for many months, and I began to wonder in prayer if my presence even mattered. The first week I returned, I asked God to help me see from his perspective what it meant to gather with other believers, and he delivered. In the lobby, which was buzzing with activity, I grabbed a cup and poured a hot coffee into it, and just as I'd done all kinds of times in the past. And as I reached for the lid, I noticed a small gift wrap box with my name on it, tucked just behind the trio of sugar containers. Anybody know who left this here for me? The man who faithfully made coffee for the congregation each week smiled and shrugged as he exchanged an empty urn for a fresh one. I have no idea. I guess you'll have to open it to solve the mystery. I tore open the wrapping paper and discovered that the box was empty except for a paper bearing a single word on it: service. I grabbed a bulletin from a teen who was handing them out as I entered the sanctuary and then headed to my usual seat. And as I sat down, a tiny envelope slipped out from the fold of the bulletin's pages and it fell to the floor. And I was startled to see my name on the envelope. I slipped my finger under the flap to release it, and I pulled out the card inside, and it read, "Helps." As the first notes of sung worship opened the service, I pushed the puzzling mystery to the back of my mind. Then I closed my eyes and joined the congregation to praise God. And when I opened them again, a small stack of boxes were sitting on the empty chair next to me. One was wrapped in shiny paper, and another was covered in a piece of yesterday's newspaper, and the third was tucked into a gift bag. I opened each one as quietly as I could, and I found the words exhortation, discernment, and mercy, one tucked inside each box. As the offering was being collected, I noticed in the plate a bright orange envelope with my name on it. I removed it and opened the envelope, and a small card bearing a single word fluttered to the floor: giving. As the preacher asked us to bow our heads in prayer before he began his message, I spotted something under my chair. It was a 9x12 envelope with my name scrawled across it. When had that appeared? I bent back the metal prongs on the closure, and a small scrap of paper slid into my palm. Teaching. When the service was drawing to a close, I rose to my feet, and an elderly friend stopped to tell me the story of how God had brought both restored health and spiritual renewal to her critically ill daughter. Then she pressed a small gift wrap box into my hands. "This is for you," she said, before disappearing into a crowd. I opened the box and found the words faith and healing scribbled on the inside of the lid. I sat down again and began gathering the boxes and the envelopes and the bits of paper that had accumulated throughout the morning. A teen slid into the empty seat beside me, and he asked, "How are you doing this morning?" I've never had a morning like this before," I said. "Really?" he thought. "I thought it was a pretty typical Sunday." I pointed to the collection of gifts sitting beside me on the empty chair to my left. It was the craziest thing. People were giving me gifts all morning long. I began to tell him the entire story, but he stopped me with a smile and he said, "You know we share our spiritual gifts with one another every time we gather, right?" Suddenly, I recognized the word wisdom was scrawled graffiti style on the letters on his t-shirt. I'd grown so accustomed to the rhythm of our weekly gathering that I had missed it. Romans 12:4-8 tells us that the Holy Spirit distributes spiritual gifts to each member of the body of Christ. His purpose in doing so is to strengthen all of us together. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good, 1 Corinthians 12:7 says. When we speak about spiritual gifts, some of us use the language of ownership. My gift is blank. And the possessive pronoun my subtly suggests that the gift somehow belongs to me. But God bestows on each of us a gift or gifts meant to reflect his character and strengthen our service to one another. The people I encountered at church that morning were all giving away the gifts that God had given to them. "Remember this," the teen said as when he rose, the gifts God gives you don't really belong to you either. God gave them to you so that you could give them away to others." I bowed my head in prayer, asking God to fill one of the empty boxes I now held in my hand, then stood to join the body of Christ gathered in the lobby of the church after the service. And I really liked that little story this week. It hit home for me. I liked it because I think it very nicely frames just a couple of things for us. I think number one, it reminds us that spiritual gifts, despite the title, are not always spiritually supercharged. And what I mean by that is that many of them are very practical. They're very subtle. They happen just as we interact naturally with one another. You don't have to be in an ecstatic state gathered around an altar for the Holy Spirit to give you a gift that's used in ministry towards other people, although sometimes that does happen. When we look at gifts like service, helps, giving, administration, those are important gifts that are very practical and often kind of under the radar. Even things like prophecy, knowledge, discernment can be very practical. You could be at work and the Spirit can speak to you and prompt you to have a conversation with someone that is going to minister to them in a way that you didn't know or expect. And secondly, I like the emphasis on the gifts being for us to give away, that we don't possess them, we steward them. So let's spend a few moments talking about the giver and the gifts. George Wood was the former general superintendent of our sister fellowship, the Assemblies of God, and he had this to say. The church is in the world to fulfill the mission of the head of the church. If we want to discover what the church is about, we must know what Jesus is about. Jesus came in flesh with these four purposes: to glorify God, to evangelize and save the lost, to make disciples, and to meet human need. Where the head of the church goes, the body that belongs to the head must follow. The gifts are given to fulfill the mission of the church. The gifts do not exist for us to stand back and view them in amazement, especially those gifts with supernatural connotations. Remember, the gifts are designed to fulfill a mission. The gifts he gives to the body of Christ are designed to accomplish that mission. All gifts, with the exception of tongues, were evidenced in Jesus' ministry. The key to understanding spiritual gifts, then, is to see them as a perpetuation of Jesus' ministry, whereby the church isn't ministering alone, but Jesus is ministering through his church. The gifts resident in him are now being expressed through his body. And so, given that framing, it seems to me that we ought to know something about spiritual gifts. Further, it would seem that Paul himself agrees that this is a matter that we should know and understand about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he begins by saying, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit has given us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. These gifts they're not a historical artifact. The Holy Spirit continues to give gifts to the people of God today. They remain as vital today for the health and effectiveness of the church as they were in Paul's day." So let's keep reading. We're going to jump ahead to verse 4, where it says, "There are different kinds of spiritual gifts." There's different kinds, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. "There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us." You know, one of the things that I'm so grateful for as a follower of Jesus is that while we are all united through Jesus, we are not all the same. And we see that even in the gifts, this beautiful diversity. Different gifts, same Spirit. Different service, same Lord. Especially as a pastor, I get really excited when people who have different gifts than I do join in to express the work of the Spirit through them. I celebrate that. And so here, as in other areas, we see that the same Spirit calls us to unity, not to uniformity. We also see here in these few verses that spiritual gifts are given by the Spirit. In fact, the Greek word that's translated as gift is charisma, and it means grace or favor or gift of God's grace or favor bestowed. That's important because it means, similarly to salvation, this is not something that's earned. We don't earn spiritual gifts. This is not that you have achieved level 10, and so now here's your gift, here's your reward. That's not what this is. This is all a measure of God's grace. If we drop down to verse 11 in this passage, we find that clearly stated. Paul writes, "It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have." And so if you are a follower of Jesus, the Spirit of God lives in you, and that same Spirit enables you or gives gifts, enables or gives gifts to the people of God to continue on the ministry of Jesus. So we know that the gifts are actually manifestations of the Spirit of God at work in and through his people to accomplish his will. In emphasizing the diversity and the unity of the gifts, Paul is reiterating here that one thing is not better than another in terms of the gifts, but rather all are necessary within the body. He doesn't want the Corinthians or us to overemphasize one gift to the exclusion of the others. He doesn't want a hierarchy to break out among the believers. All of the gifts come from one source and are to be used for one purpose. And the source of the gift is the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And the purpose is for the building up of the body of Christ, which happens as the gifts are used to their fullest potential, as people serve the Lord, and as people serve one another, and as God works through his people. And so, while you may seek a particular gift, it doesn't guarantee that you're going to receive that one, because God alone administers the gifts among his people. Each believer, then, is responsible to seek God's guidance in discovering his or her particular gift or gifts, and then discovering how best to use them for God's purposes. Take a look at verse 7 with me. It says, "A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other." So notice here that everyone has a spiritual gift. That means you have a spiritual gift given to you by God for you to give to the body of Christ as you participate in the ministry of Jesus. You have something unique to contribute as a means of helping the entire church. Spiritual gifts, then, are not for your own private use and enjoyment. They aren't a reward for spiritual excellence or a badge to be worn to demonstrate you're a spiritual elite. Instead, they're to be used to build up the church. Some gifts help those in the church to grow closer to Christ, and other gifts bring outsiders into the church. Others help to encourage those in the church who are carrying burdens, and all of the gifts are needed because different needs require different gifts. Over the next few weeks, we're going to look at some of the gifts in more detail. For now, know that there are four principles primary lists of spiritual gifts that we find in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, they're all listed right there for you. And I just want to list quickly the variety of gifts that are mentioned in these passages. We're not going to dive into all of them today. We'll, like I said, we'll work on some of them as we go over the next few weeks. But take a look at the spectrum of needs that they cover. Are you ready? That's just the ones that Paul lists. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, interpretation, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors, serving, encouragement, giving, leading, kindness, speaking, helping, teaching. Wow. That is amazing. And I just want to mention that there's nothing to indicate in these lists that they are complete. Paul never says, this is all of the spiritual gifts that you can ever possibly have. Don't ever leave this list. He doesn't say that. Rather, the lists kind of serve as an idea for us about what the Spirit's doing, how he's working, what we can look for. And so it's very possible that there are some people, maybe even here today, who have a spiritual gift that's not specifically mentioned on this screen right now. You could have something like, you know, graphic design could be a spiritual gift. Or technological stewardship could be a spiritual gift. Or innovative community building could be a spiritual gift. When we make it our goal to be available to God and to seek to serve others for Christ's sake, our spiritual gifts will come to the surface, and we may need the insight of others even to recognize what is our particular spiritual gift. Towards the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul has made his case for different people with different gifts, honoring one another to join the work of the ministry. Together, he concludes by saying this: you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. In other words, in the desire to be helpful to the body of Christ, seek the power of the Spirit. Too often this verse is only applied individually when the emphasis should be on the church as a whole body. The church ought to desire the most helpful gifts so that it can function well. And if we take it a step further, one of the things that's so cool about the local church is that we are a body within a body. So God gives spiritual gifts for you to serve within the context of Trinity. Okay, whatever it is that we need in this church, you can be open to God giving that to you as a gift for you to serve here at Trinity as we cooperate in the mission of Jesus. But there's another level here, because Trinity itself is also part of the bigger church. And so as a church family, there's something that the Spirit of God is calling us, gifting us to do that is going to benefit and bless the broader church within our city, within our nation, and globally. So you have these kinds of layers of how we operate, how we bless, and all of it is tied to how Jesus is at work in and through his people. So we want to make it our goal to be available to God and to seek to serve others for Christ's sake. Our spiritual gifts will come to the surface. Sometimes we even need other input from others to help us recognize where God is working in our lives and how we're gifted. And so to help get you started, if you're open to this, if you're looking to see, God, what can you do in and through me, I want you to consider these couple of things. Number one, ask God to increase your usefulness. Okay? Just ask God to help you. Number two, look for opportunities to serve. Number three, observe how other believers serve. Number four, ask others to help you to discern. So if you're really stumped, maybe you're one of the people who feels like I have no gift. Maybe you're one of the people who feels like I have no talent. You know, sometimes we run into that with people where they just feel like I don't really have anything. I just kind of keep showing up. But ask those who you've served, ask those who you serve with to help you discern your spiritual strengths. And then number five is, this sounds a little bit funny, but practice, practice, practice. Practice those gifts. Practice them. Practice serving. Practice showing up. Practice being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, can I just tell you this, please? Sometimes you're going to get it wrong. Sometimes you're going to make a mistake. But I have news for you. That's actually okay. Okay? There is only one perfect person who ever lived, and it's him that we're following. The expectation is never perfection. The expectation is faithfulness. Okay? Let me tell you again. The expectation is not perfection. The expectation is faithfulness. And so sometimes as we begin to step out and as we begin to follow the leading of the Spirit, sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes our very good intentions get in the way, and we think that something that is very near and dear to us is the Holy Spirit, and that's just not always the case. And it doesn't always mean that it's bad, but it's not always the Spirit, you see? So we just gently work with each other and help to redirect one another and help to affirm when the Spirit is speaking. So we're going to practice these things. For now, here's what I want us to do, okay? Because we can't preach and teach about spiritual gifts without also taking some time to seek God regarding spiritual gifts. And listen, there's lots more to say about the gifts. This has barely even scratched the surface this morning. We have not said it all. Some of you may never operate in some of the gifts. Others of you may operate in a particular gift one time and that's it. And some of you may continually operate in the same gift over and over again. That's just how it goes sometimes. But there's a lot of variation and a number of contributing factors to go through. And what is certain is that when Jesus was ascending to the Father, he promised that the church, that his followers would receive power when what? When the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And the purpose of that power was to do something. It wasn't just for us to have a great time here together in this room. It wasn't just so that you and I would feel goosebumps when the music is just right and the words are especially meaningful. The power was so that we would be witnesses, so that we would tell others about Jesus, so that we would have an encounter with the risen Savior that would be so transformative to us that we wouldn't be able to not tell other people about it. The power is to turn us into witnesses. And so that's the same today as it was in Acts chapter 1. It's the same promise. So for all of you who are feeling like, I want this, I want to know more about Jesus, I want to live my life in this way, I want to see him work and move, I want to see my family and my friends come to know Jesus. Church, we do that by spending time with him. We do that by asking him to use us. We do that by being willing to take the risk of sometimes getting it a little bit wrong. It's a little bit messy, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't try. And so in Acts chapter 2, what we see is that God's Spirit is poured out generously. And so you and I ought to seek and expect that the Spirit will also work in and through us. So it's still a little bit early. I did that on purpose today. I did it on purpose. We're going to spend a little bit of time together. So Jason and the worship team are going to come back. and they're going to begin to just lead us in worship, okay? And then what I want is for this. I want to encourage you, number one, to just enter into worship. Sing, lift your hands, kneel, walk around, come to the altar if you want, stay where you are if you like, okay? Whatever you do, let me encourage you to participate. Here's the thing, worship is not just our singing a song and getting the warm fuzzies. Worship is something that we bring to the Lord. It's an offering, it's a sacrifice. And sometimes, I'm gonna be honest with you again, sometimes we do not feel like it. Hello? Sometimes we do not feel like it. I'm just gonna tell you, we gotta push through that. So let me just encourage you this morning, however it is that you're feeling, it's okay, but push through it a little bit. Come to Jesus, bring what you have, okay? We're gonna enter into worship. And I wanna encourage you to do that now. And then what I want is for us to deliberately choose this morning to elevate God and humble ourselves. Do whatever it is that helps you in this moment to hear from God and to speak to God. So I'm gonna invite you to stand. I'm gonna invite you to stand. It's early, the kids are still doing their thing, so don't worry about it, okay? And let's just begin to ask the Holy Spirit to show us. Where can I serve? Where can I be useful? What do you have for me to do? Okay? Just begin to ask. Just begin to ask. Be open. If the Holy Spirit tells you something, I would love to hear that from you. Come and tell me about it, okay? For now, we're just gonna seek. So you can move around, you can kneel, you can do all of those things. Let's pray, and then Jesus is, not Jesus, Jason. That was quite a promotion. I really like Jason, but he's definitely not Jesus. And then Jason's gonna lead us this morning, okay? So Father, we trust you today. We know that you are a God who gives good gifts to your children. We love, Father, that you are a God who has also invited us into your mission. We know today that Jesus is the head of the church, and so wherever the head goes, the body follows. Lord, we want to follow. We want to be with you. We want to do what you have laid out for us to do. We want to fulfill the mission that you have set for us from long ago. So, Father, I pray today that as we take some time now and we invite your Spirit to speak to us, God, I ask that you would just bring a beautiful sense of your presence among us, that you would help us to realize that you are here in our midst. For those who are kind of nervous right now or who are maybe a little bit freaked out, God, I just ask that you would give them your peace in this moment. Lord, all things are done here in order and in discernment. And so, God, we humbly come before you. And we ask, God, for you to fill every need in this church. We ask, God, for you to give vision in this church for areas where we are lacking. And we ask, God, that supernaturally through this body of believers, that you would pour out spiritual gifts to fill those needs and to minister in the way that Jesus has begun. So God be glorified in us, we pray. Amen. Church, listen. Don't be surprised at all. In the coming week, if you just feel led of the Spirit in some way, and I would encourage you to step out and follow that. Okay? It might be very small. It might be very gentle. And that's often how the Spirit leads us. Still, small voice. Okay? Faithfulness is the goal. Faithfulness. My friends, if you want to hold out your hands in a posture of receipt, I invite you to hear these words of benediction this morning. Church, fan into flame the gift that God has given. Remember that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of self-control. Remember that we are all part of Christ's body. Jesus is the head, and we belong to each other. So use your gifts to benefit the body and to minister to the world around you. May passion for Jesus be your motivation. May the power of the Spirit equip you for every good work. And may the love of the Father encourage you and keep you. Amen and amen. Grace and peace to you. I will see you guys next week.